In 1905, the Lewis and Clark Exposition promoted Portland, Oregon, as the economic hub of the Pacific Northwest. Not so, said folks in Seattle. They were planning an even better World's Fair, one that would link Seattle to Alaska, the Yukon Territory, Hawaii, and parts of Asia. But it was going to be a stretch.
10 years earlier, this was a Wild West town.
HistoryLink staff historian Alan Stein.
This was out in the boondocks. It was dirt streets. It was boardwalks. It wasn't until 1907, when the city started annexing and building up, that you could call it an actual growing metropolis.
Stein's HistoryLink colleague Paula Becker agrees.
Certainly for the city of Seattle, which was quite a relatively young city and a quite young state at that point, the idea that they could come together and make something that big happen, pull it off, that was significant.
There had been nothing like this in Seattle.
Lorraine McConaughey is the public historian at MOHAI, Seattle's Museum of History and Industry. She says to promote the AYP, Seattle adopted an all roads lead here attitude. In one case, literally. The country's first transcontinental car race started in New York City and had its finish line at the fair.
There's a frank boosterism to the fair, an almost embarrassing promotion of Seattle as a world-class city on the Pacific Rim, you know, this city with all this get-up-and-go that's a gateway to exotic worlds.
Some of those exotic worlds were represented at the fair by attractions that included a Japanese tea house and villages offering a supposed glimpse into the lives of Chinese and Eskimo communities and the habits of Igorot Mountain people from the Philippines. And over in the Hawaii building, Martha Hoverson of the Hawaii State Library says visitors could taste pineapple, see a pyramid of coconuts, and hear some of Hawaii's best musicians on the half hour.
They couldn't play more often because they were in competition with the room right next door where films and slideshows and lectures were being given. But they were the biggest draw for the Hawaiian building, outdrawing pineapple, I might say.
One of those musicians, Joseph Kukuku, is credited with inventing the steel guitar, which is held on the lap and played with a steel bar. Seattle music historian Peter Bleka suspects it was Kukuku's AYP performance that inspired a Seattle guitar maker to invent an unusual hinged neck guitar to allow regular guitars to be played in the steel guitar manner.
You know, the fair's coordinators and founders and planners and sponsors may have had that as a goal, that it would cause cross-pollination of ideas and people from different corners of the globe. It succeeded beyond their wildest dreams, at least in this one case.
The activities in the Hawaiian building may have moved instrument design and pineapple sales forward, but some other cultural exhibits at the fair did nothing to promote cross-cultural understanding.
Because it was demeaning in many cases.
Robin Wright is curator of Native American art at Seattle's Burke Museum.
The Igorot people who were put on display from the Philippine Islands had the big signs on the Igorot village said, you know, 50 primitive wild people, 50 headhunters.
Wright says some AYP promoters thought nothing of using images of Northwest Native Americans, especially Chief Seattle, to sell all sorts of souvenirs, including a deck of AYP playing cards in the museum's collection.
And it's a regular set of playing cards, but guess which card the Chief Seattle's portrait appears on? It's the Joker. Well, how insulting could that be?
Insulting enough to land those cards and more than a dozen other AYP items in an exhibit that features work by 16 indigenous artists responding to the cultural legacies of the fair. Curator Robin Wright asked violinist and Lummi tribe member Swill Canem to respond to the sheet music for an AYP song titled Chief Seattle.
I wanted him to play it, you know.
It was impossible for me not to think about how different things are from that era and now, but also how some things are still the same.
And he resisted it. He said, no, I'm not going to do that, but instead I'm going to play for you a song that I've improvised around the tune for 10 Little Indians.
I noticed the tom-tom sound in the music, and I think what I wanted to show was that there's a new rhythm in life without disregarding the past.
A video of Swill Kanum playing his version of Ten Little Indians and work by 15 other artists is on display in Seattle's Burke Museum as part of the AYP Indigenous Voices Reply exhibit through the end of November. I'm Harriet Baskis.